If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
And welcome to Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. We're going to kick things off this week with our topic of the week. This week we're talking about alien encounters. Amelia, an alien visited you on New Year's Eve, is that right?
Yes. I was having a nice drink by myself in my house, and I was partying the night alone. And I had had a few whiskies by that point. And then I said, oh, it's getting a bit chilly. I'll go up to my bedroom and grab my house coat.
Yes.
Or my dressing gown, whatever.
Now, do you normally drink alone on New Year's Eve?
Yes.
No friends or loved ones to spend
it
with?
No, they've all died.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
What age are you?
98.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So I went up to get my dressing gown and I put it on me. And by Jesus, I saw an alien in the wardrobe.
Okay, what did it look like?
It was green.
Mm-hmm.
And it had two googly eyes looking at me.
Yeah.
And it was slivering like a little snake.
Okay, sort of reptilian,
was,
yeah?
Yes, and it was luminous, almost like, you know, in The Simpsons, Homer Simpson, he works with those luminous chemical yolks.
Yes, radioactive isotopes.
Radioactive, yeah. That is.
So the alien was glowing? It had like a fluorescent glow?
Yes, radioactive. It hurt my eyes so much that I fell back onto my bed. Because I just couldn't even look at it.
Yeah.
So I closed the wardrobe and I rang the alien helpline.
Oh, I didn't know there was an alien helpline.
Yes.
Okay.
I seen it in the newspaper.
Prior to this, you had seen it?
Yes.
Okay.
I read the newspaper every morning and I just so happened to stumble upon a helpline that morning.
Okay.
So I thought, well, I had cut it out
and
put it on the fridge in case I'd encountered with an alien.
Yeah.
And I did.
There
on
you
New
go.
Year's Eve.
That's mad. And what did they say when you called them?
Well, I was on hold for about 20 minutes, which surprised me because I didn't think I'd be waiting that long. You know, I didn't think it happened to everyone. So then when I got through to them...
It was New Year's Eve, so...
Right.
They're probably understaffed or whatever.
Working from home,
maybe.
Yeah. So I asked them, I said, but there's an alien in my wardrobe. What will I do?
Mm.
And they said to make some soup and pour it over the alien.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Apparently it melts them back up into wherever they came from.
Right.
And they hate hot liquids.
Right. He couldn't just use boiling water. It had to be a soup.
Had to be soup.
I wonder what that's
had
about.
Soup. Had to have some sort of flavour in it.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a... I was in a rush. I was sweating. So then I took off the dressing gown. I ran downstairs and I made a vegetable soup and I was stirring it. And then I came back up to find not one, but five aliens now in the wardrobe.
Five?
Yes.
They must have been quite small, were they? Or are they just squashed in?
They were small, like little minions in my wardrobe.
Yeah.
So I went down and made some more soup because they didn't have enough to get rid of them.
Ugh.
Yes. And I ran up and fed them all the soup, but they seemed to really enjoy it.
Well, you weren't supposed to feed them. You were supposed to pour it over their heads, remember?
Oh, yeah, right. I really effed this situation up. I poured it into their mouth.
Ugh, they probably liked that.
Yeah, they did say yummy, 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 more. And then they actually grew bigger. They were no longer minions. They were like almost like, I don't know, Mike and Sully from... Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
They were...
Well, they're very different in size themselves. So they're more
there was
like
a variety,
Dave. Oh, okay, yeah.
They had changed. They had grown into their own personal alien...
Individual, distinctive alien
distinctive,
sizes.
Different, not the same.
Sure, all those words.
All those words. So by then, I kind of said, well, I am alone and they are kind of cute, so why don't we all come down and watch a movie?
Okay. Were they up for that?
Yes, they wanted to watch Apocalypse Now. I'd never seen it.
Hang on, were they able to speak English? How did they communicate with you?
They actually wrote it with their slime on the walls.
On the walls?
They couldn't, they could smile, they could kind of make shapes with their eyes, you know, kind of wink at me and look happy. But
so they wrote in slime on the wall, just Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now.
Now, were you worried at all that that might be a threat and not the name of a movie?
Well, I had seen it. RT were playing it for the big
was
movie
on.
That
okay,
night.
Yeah.
Well, so
thank God you knew that, because I would have found that quite threatening if aliens wrote Apocalypse Now on the wall.
Exactly, and there was a TV guide in the wardrobe, so I said, well, I just put two and two together. They said it was on tonight. So they said Apocalypse Now. So I said, well, come on down.
Yeah.
But sure, I didn't even see the film because they kept wanting to eat the soup. So I just made more soup, more soup, more soup. And by this time, I'm sweating so much, I took off my nice dress. So I'm in the nip in the kitchen making so much soup.
Yeah.
I ran out of soup, the packets of Nora. So I had to make fresh soup with the vegetables.
Yeah.
God,
that's a lot. It's a lot of effort.
This was not the New Year's Eve I intended. I just wanted a few whiskeys by the telly and fall asleep with the fire on.
Yeah. And what happened then, like the next day? Were they gone or?
The next day I woke up and they were all in the bed with me.
Okay.
And?
Had anything happened?
What do you mean?
Like sexually?
God, no.
Okay, sorry. No.
I'm a nun. I've never been
You're a
into
nun?
That. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize that, sister.
I had woke up and they had leached onto me. And I actually couldn't take them off. I got a knife. I got an even sharper knife and I couldn't actually get them off me. So I'm sitting here and they're all leached onto me.
My God. I didn't realize this is months later and they're still there. Have they, I don't know, are they like?
They move.
They move around?
They move around. They started on my shins.
Are they draining anything from you? Like a leech would drain blood? Are they draining like your life force? Or?
I have noted myself to be a bit lightheaded.
Are you eating a lot of soup now?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's probably maybe they're sort of like draining the soup from you.
Yes, well, I have a cup of soup, tomato and basil. I go down to the local cafe. I have more soup and they just won't get off me.
Right, look, I'm going to ring the alien helpline now. Hopefully they won't take 20 minutes. Hello?
Hiya, Dave. How's it going?
Oh, you're listening to the show, are you?
Yeah. I'm a long time listener.
Oh, okay, great. What's your name?
My name's Christian.
Christian, have you been listening to Amelia's story about these aliens that have attached themselves to her skin and potentially leeching soup through her pores?
Yeah, I took the call from...
The original call. Yeah.
And, I'm always listening to your show, Dave, because, you know, we never really get any calls in to the alien helpline in Ireland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of dead normally. It's just me there.
Okay.
So to get a call in that... wasn't a prank call, and to be honest, I thought Amelia was absolutely full of SHIT from the moment it started. I actually I actually fobbed her off a couple of times. She had to call back a few times.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, because it just sounded so unbelievable.
It's very crazy what she's describing, yeah.
So, yeah, essentially we've been in touch with our counterparts globally. We have a big network of alien helplines, for example, in Nevada. In the States, we've got people coming over as we speak
to
investigate this. Yeah, but I mean, the main thing I'm curious about is what does this soup taste like? Because it sounds absolutely delicious.
Can you tell us a bit about the soup?
Of course. I would always garnish it with parsley, oregano, coriander, salt, pepper, sun-dried tomatoes, pesto. And that would just go into any soup I have.
Red pesto or green pesto?
Red.
Oh, yeah.
Are they like roasted tomatoes before you roast the vegetables? And then do you blend it or just to kind of have it kind of loose?
I would boil them and then put them in the Nutribullet.
Nice.
Sometimes I just drink it straight from the Nutribullet.
Well, you can
even
see
if it's boiling.
You can see why the aliens would be right at home there.
Yeah, this is a world first. This is our first encounter with aliens that is completely legitimate.
What was this advice you gave to pour the soup on the aliens? Was that?
Yeah.
Was that good advice?
Well, I was just so, curious about, you know, every time you see films with aliens, because that's really all we have to go off.
Yeah.
It's just people and like literature about films. They seem to have aversion to like water or diseases or whatever. And Amelia just wouldn't stop going on about this delicious sounding soup. So I just said, oh, well, you know, let's put two and two together. Let's
right.
pour it on them. Let's see what they think about it. And
so you actually brought up the idea of the soup initially.
Yes.
And he was like, yeah, just throw it on.
I was on hold and I said, oh, I think my soup is boiling over. And he was immediately more interested
in
that
soup
rather than my horrific encounter with aliens.
Do you put it in a commuter cup or just out of the bowl?
So, Christian, it sounds like you're a bit more of a soup aficionado than you are an alien aficionado.
Well, look, I wasn't born dreaming of working in a call center. You know, that wasn't I wanted. You know, I always wanted to be a chef.
Right.
And also, you know, liquid is the absolute best way to ingest food. So,
is that true? I suppose it's easier to digest, is it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have any teeth, so it's better for me anyway. I've always enjoyed liquid. But anyway, yeah, this is our first alien encounter ever. And I think, you know, technology-wise, everything's going to change after this. And also, I'm just wondering about this Nutribullet. Like, did you order that online or whatever? Because my ones always keep breaking. Maybe it's the ingredients I'm using.
Yeah, well, it's not even the proper Nutribullet.
It's not a brand.
Like it's like a one from Jones trying to be like the Nutribullet. But sorry, what's your name again?
Christian.
Can I just go back to the ad? Are you the only one working in the alien helpline?
Yeah, it's just me. I hear you're living alone as well, aren't you?
I am now. Going back to the newspaper ad, you said the ad said alien helpline 1-800-555-666. If you encounter an alien, call this number. Don't be worrying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No mention of soup. No mention of the soup fetish. It was, you know, utterly just, we want to help you if you see an alien.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You didn't help me in any way. You actually fed the aliens. Well, I fed them, but you told me.
Well, now hang on, though, because he said to pour the soup on their heads and that would send them back to their ship or whatever.
Yes.
Now, it sounds like he was talking through his hat because he doesn't seem to know anything.
It couldn't hurt to try.
Yeah, it couldn't hurt to try. But you were the one that actually then fed them the soup, which, I don't know, that's on you.
Well, it was kind of like their mouths were closed, but then as soon as I raised the scalding hot pot,
they
opened their mouths.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah, it sounds right.
So I could see why you did it, Amelia. I just don't think you can really blame Christian, who it sounds like is doing this out of the goodness of his heart.
Well,
you're getting government funding.
Yeah, we're government funded. Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. I don't know. It sounds like you could stand to learn a little bit more. Other than from what you see in movies or whatever, you know?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know exactly where I could study. I mean, you know, we have our counterparts in Nevada. I won't say where in Nevada. In fact, I shouldn't have even said Nevada. But anyway, we have them. And
they probably have a bit more experience.
Yeah, I'd hope so. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'd hope so, too.
Super aliens, you mean? Sorry, what's it?
With aliens?
Oh, yeah.
No,
oh, yeah,
why
yeah.
do you keep mentioning soup? We're not here to talk. This episode isn't about soup. It's about alien encounters, okay?
I haven't had lunch.
All right, stay on the line. I'm going to want to talk to Ryan. Ryan, you think you met an alien on the Dart, is that right?
I did. He was a nice chap. I was getting the Dart from Dunleary into, it was actually into Tara Street there. Got on, sat down, everything was normal.
So far so good.
I usually take every Dart journey in stages like that, you know, ticking the boxes. Didn't miss it.
Buy a ticket,
get onto the platform,
yeah.
Walk onto the train, sit down,
yeah.
Don't encounter an alien. But today, I couldn't take that box.
Right.
Because guess what?
You met an alien.
Not yet. There was somebody else sitting across from me. There's a few more boxes to tick.
Oh, right.
Check that the windows weren't open. Checked that nobody had their feet in the seats around me. Then, who should sit down next to me? Only some woman. Then.
She got off?
She got off. Then, who got on? Only a little 4-foot child. Then, who should get on? Only an alien.
Now, you say you think you met an alien. What do they look like or why were you uncertain?
Do you know, I'd thought loads over the years that if I ever did encounter an alien that maybe they'd look like, you know, different to what you've seen in the films or whatever. But this one looked very like your average alien. Have you ever seen the film Independence Day starring Will Smith and the other fella?
Yes.
Great one.
Yeah, thanks.
Now, the aliens in that remind me, they're quite grotesque, right?
Yeah. Like, imagine a really gone-off octopus.
Yes, yeah.
And he just kind of, like, slid onto the train because, like, he could kind of stand up. He could kind of walk. I felt bad for him. He was a little bit too tall for the train. But he kind of got in.
Too tall for the train, as in, taller than the roof.
Yeah, this is a big alien. Yeah, he kind of had to crouch down. Everybody was kind of feeling a bit bad for him. A bit like, you know, when you see an elderly person get on and somebody has to get up and give them a seat.
Now, were people not, like, afraid? That sounds like a very scary...
Oh, yeah, everybody was running around screaming. But some people were feeling bad. Myself included. Most people were, like, trying really hard to get off the train.
Yeah. But, were you screaming? No.
Oh, yeah. A little bit. It was, like, between screams, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
He's a bit tall for the train. Because, obviously he was about 7 or 8 foot at this
stage.
But thankfully, when everybody tried to manically get off the train, they just kind of went to either side of the carriage. And he sat down, just across from me, actually. And I kind of felt bad for him then because, you know, he was just minding his own business, probably just trying to get to alien work, wherever aliens work.
Somewhere in town, maybe.
Yeah. Probably one of those cool bars.
Yeah.
And he kind of just slithered into his seat, took out the newspaper and started reading it. And at this stage, you know, the alarm bells were going absolutely mental. People were screaming at me to get up. They were screaming at the driver to stop the train.
So why were they screaming at you?
I think they were fearing for my safety.
Oh, because you were just sitting across from the alien.
Yeah, and he'd wrapped his tentacles around my head at this stage.
Around your head?
Yeah.
What was he trying to do, do you think?
I think he was trying to communicate through me. You know the way that Independence Day.
Some kind of psycho.
Psycho? Like something.
I'm trying to say.
Telepathic.
Okay. Did he say that?
Yeah. Something like that. I can remember the episode in intense detail.
Yeah. Because this happened earlier today?
Yeah. So
the tentacles...
Still a little bit hoarse.
Yeah, the tentacles wrapped around your head and your neck?
Yeah.
Oh, and was it talking through your voice box?
Yeah. Okay. Pretty cool. Pretty cool I was able to do it. I asked him afterwards how he did it. He was like, oh, tricks of the trade.
It said, we will end your...
We will end your planet. But it wasn't my voice. It was kind of like a whisper. It was like, we will end your planet.
Yeah.
You know, and it was kind of like, God, he could have been a bit more original.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So, that was my ride to work. But, you know, I got talking to him afterwards. He was a pretty nice guy.
Just want to check. Amelia, this sounds like a larger version of what you described.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, is there any chance that the aliens that you have might be the offspring of this larger alien that was on the dart?
Oh. Do you know, that actually does ring a bell because they were kind of saying like, mama, dada. And before they couldn't talk.
Right.
But then suddenly when they leached onto me, maybe they took some of my energy or something. Yeah. You know, and they could talk. So I kind of thought that maybe they were calling me
you,
Mama,
which
or
would make
Papa.
Sense because they are like feeding off you.
Exactly, yeah. But maybe they were actually looking for their Mama or Papa.
Right,
and that actually makes a lot of sense because as soon as he stopped, like, you know, speaking through me and talking about, like, you know, Armageddon and the world ending and everything, he just kind of sat down and he turned to me and he was like, "Oh, kids, huh?
yeah,
you know."
Started
having, like, you know, the gripe, you know, really relatable stuff.
I think I've seen, what happens here is they've gone and lost their kids.
Yeah.
Are understandably upset and maybe blaming, I don't know, Amelia, perhaps, for keeping them this long.
It's not my choice to keep them. I can't get them.
Yeah, well, you could stop eating soup, you know?
All right.
Christian, what are we going to do? You're the health line. You're the expert.
Yeah.
How are we going to stop these aliens from ripping our planet apart looking for their kids?
Well, firstly, I just want to say to the callers that I'm so sorry that you had those difficult experiences with the alien entities. And, you know, I want to do everything in my power to right that. And I want to say to all the listeners out there as well, please do call in the helpline if you see any aliens. It's very important because I log all of those calls. And it helps secure the government funding for next year, which is very important for me.
We're beyond that now. We've got a serious problem. What are we going to do?
Well, do you know what?
You better not mention soup.
I was just going to mention soup.
God,
because it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for this. Do you know, Dave, anything can be soup. As long as it's a thick liquid and it's warm. Any food.
Well, it doesn't even have to be warm. You can have gazpacho, which is sort of chilled.
Yeah. Continental.
It's less fun, you know. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, you can have pizza soup, cake soup. You can have, you know, milkshake soup.
Look, Christian, what we'll do here is, since you're in love with soup, I'll give you all of my soup ingredients, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have to stop eating soup. And I can't help but blame you for not helping me on that New Year's Eve cold night.
That's fair.
So you're going to take all my soup ingredients. I'm going to find another food to live on. And hopefully the child aliens will leech off my body and I can then meet up with you and reunite on my soup.
Well, Ryan, do you know where your giant alien has gone?
Not too sure.
Where did you get off? Or?
I think he said he was working in around like South William Street and around there.
Okay. So maybe a nice bar, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Farrier and Draper.
Like Berlin Bar. I think that's closed down.
I think that's gone now. Yeah.
Sorry.
They had that issue during COVID with the party.
Yeah.
And
that was bold.
You know what, though? I think it's now like a Mexican fusion restaurant.
Oh.
Yeah, worth checking out.
Cool.
It's new.
But you know, like, he got off at Pierce Street, I think. I was going to Connolly.
It's
not relevant to the story, but I was on my way to work.
No, I thought you said Tara Street earlier, but
yeah,
maybe.
No, I heard Tara.
Sometimes I get out of Connolly.
Yeah, because it's kind of halfway between.
It just makes sense for me.
Yeah, yeah. You like to mix it up, because you just do the same thing every day.
Yeah,
it gets very
this
boring.
Is it, you know? And it was like, I just thought I'd need a little bit of exercise. Walk off the fact that I'd just been manhandled by an alien. That's why I went to Connolly.
Yeah.
It made sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would have thought that when you called, just coming in on Amelia's query there, I would have thought that, you know, that Christian, you know, if he was working for the Alien Helpline, looking for government funding, and somebody had just been accosted on the Dart, and, you know, an entire train carriage had flooded him with phone calls this morning, as I understand, because you do have ads plastered all over the train, remember, that you would actually do something about that. Or mobilize the army or something, because he was a nice guy, but it is a bit worrying.
Do you have the power to mobilize the army, Christian?
Yeah.
I know you're government funded, so.
Yeah. That and Area 51. You didn't hear from me, and this is a secret now, but like Area 51 is chock full of aliens.
Right. This is in America now.
Yeah, Nevada.
I heard that they only have aliens working there. There's no actual humans there.
Yeah. But it's fully, you know, inclusive, and, you know, it's a diverse hiring policy. It's fantastic, really. Yeah.
Amazingly, right. So what can you do now then?
Well, I'm going to blend together all these ideas, you know, stick it in an idea pot and really just turn up the heat in terms of our funding.
And make a soup.
Absolutely delicious.
Okay, well, look, we know what the problem is. We've got the baby aliens. We know that the dad or mother is working somewhere in South William Street. I guess it's over to you three to save humanity. Do you think you guys can handle that? Because I have to get on with the rest of the show. I don't feel super confident.
Neither do I.
Where are you working, Ryan?
I just work in, there's like a little noodle bar there on Tara Street.
Oh, near Tara Street Station.
Yeah.
They do ramen.
They do.
Oh. We could get a bowl of ramen and watch Independence Day again and maybe form a plan. What do you think, guys?
I'd be well up for that.
Yes. Now I won't be able to eat the ramen soup.
I don't think
I'm
you should.
The soup now. Yeah. No,
you could have some bread or something dry, I think. Very dry.
I just have the dry noodles. If you want to take yours out of your bowl, I'll eat them.
Well, that might be a bit, I don't know, that's still coming from a soup. I would go fully
raw
dry.
Noodles are a bit too solid for me, so you can have my noodles. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you can have raw noodles or bread or...
You just have a glass of water.
Oh, yeah.
I know, it's kind of like a soup without ingredients,
H2O
though,
soup,
it? I'd avoid water for as long as you can.
I do feel like I need something starchy, though, because these aliens have been sucking the life out of me for the last 3 months.
Bread
and
soup.
May I emphasize, I'm 98. I don't know if you've forgotten about that.
No.
I haven't left the house in a while.
Your sodium levels are probably through the roof.
Mm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, maybe the aliens are draining it. Listen, we're getting off the point. I wish you all the best of luck. Obviously, all of our futures hanging in the balance. So, yeah, good luck and Godspeed. And maybe phone back in next week if we're still alive and let us know how you got on.
Absolutely.
Great.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks guys. Thanks. Thank you all for phoning it in. As I'm sure you know, Phoning It In is just one of the many excellent podcasts on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Here's a little teaser for another podcast you should definitely check out.
Hello, I'm Joe Rooney.
And I'm Patrick McDonald.
And we have a show called Talking Ted, which is a show about the memories, stories and insights into what has made Father Ted the egg sandwich of Irish TV shows.
Yeah, we'll be talking through all the episodes and interviewing people who are on the show.
And reminiscing. I think we'll reminisce quite a lot.
There's a lot of reminiscing. I remember that time, but not so much this time.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember back in the old days, we used to reminisce a lot as well. You can find Talking Ted on the platform that you're listening to now, because we are a podcast just like this podcast. So don't forget to look us up.
It's absolutely brilliant, and it's out now. So listen.
If you would like to support the show, check out Headstuff Plus. For a small monthly fee, you'll not only help me to continue making more episodes of this show, you'll also get a heap of bonus content from every single show on the network. That includes new bonus episodes of this show, which will be released every other week. So please head on over to Headstuff Plus and sign up today. My special guest joining me in the studio today is the first person ever to be successfully frozen and reanimated 30 years later. Please welcome to the show, Norman Pearson.
Hi.
Norman, how you doing?
Real good. Real good, Dave.
Norman, you took the decision to be frozen using highly experimental techniques back in 1992 when you were just 35 years old. What made you decide to make that transition?
Well, Dave, I will tell you right now.
Please do.
Why I decided to make that transition. I had lived my life since the year 1957. Mm-hmm. I'd seen a lot of things, and I saw the way the world was going. Technology was developing. The internet had kind of just started, and then I read in a magazine somewhere, freeze yourself for 30 years, and then you'll know what the world is like in 30 years' time, and you'll be the same age as you are now.
Yes.
So and you... I said, that sounds good to me. That sounds good to me because in 1992, I must confess, I had no friends.
Right.
I had no job. I had no life. I had no money.
Yeah.
Even though this procedure was incredibly expensive, I went to untold lengths to save up all that money. And then I froze myself. And here I am today talking to you, minus 30 years of my life, really.
I don't know. You're something of an experimental wonder. How have people reacted to you being back in the world?
Well, when I froze myself in 1992, had a great personal cast, I said to myself, wow, when I wake up, people are going to be really interested in what I have to say and the insight that I have to give. But to tell you the truth, I've woken up and I've kind of come to the realization that 30 years isn't really a long enough time for you to have anything of interest to say to anyone.
Right, because I remember 1992.
Loads of people can remember 1992.
Yeah.
So, you know, anybody over the age of, 50 really has no interest in anything I have to say. I mean, I'm walking up to people and going, hey, Walkmans were a thing.
Yeah.
Okay? Walkmans. And then they say, like... Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I had one,
and
yeah.
I said to myself, like, wow, I really should have frozen myself for maybe 20,
300
years. 300 years. That would have been
interesting.
Good. That would have been good. Although, you know, you never know what sort of a world you're going to wake up to.
That's true, if at all, yeah. In fact, you might have just got in just in time.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean. So it's been a bit of a waste of money, you might say.
Well, it's been a... Yeah, it has.
Well, look, I want to talk to some other people who are close to you. Your son Graham is on the line. He was 10.
Oh, shit.
He was 10 when you were frozen, so he's now 5 years older than you.
Right.
Graham, what's it like having your dad back in the world?
Howdy. Mr. Dave, thanks so much for having me on the call. Hi, Dad, by the way. How are you?
Hi, Graham. I'm good.
Really?
So, sorry, yeah. you guys haven't spoken since your dad was reanimated?
Nope.
Well, okay. For me, it's been about a fortnight, really, because I spoke to Ryan, told him that I hated him.
Graham. You said Graham.
I spoke to Graham, told him that I hated him, never wanted to see him again. And then about 2 hours later, got myself frozen.
Frozen. So yeah. For you, it's been 2 weeks. For him, it's been, what was it, 30 years?
30? Yeah, about that. Yeah, yeah 30 yeah, years. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, long old time. I don't blame you for forgetting my name after all that time.
Well, you see, I do, because it's only been 2 weeks for him. It's been a longer time for you, obviously.
Wow, Dave, I did not realize that. I am even more pissed off now, Dad.
Yeah.
What the heck?
I couldn't even remember your name when you were alive. You were so pathetic.
Five-year-old. What's his name?
Have you ever had... Jim?
No, it's Graham. No,
Graham, sorry. Well, no, I'm not sorry. Have you ever had a five-year-old? They're pretty useless.
Mm.
Pretty useless. What do you like now? Any good at being fun?
Well, he was 10 when he was frozen.
10. All right. 40? What are you now? 40?
He's 40 now, yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah. Yeah, okay. You're older than me.
Yeah.
We've already established that.
Yeah.
Okay.
How does it feel to have a son now that's older than you?
Pretty annoying. Just as annoying as it was when it was 1992 and he was only 5.
Okay, you sound like a terrible father. He was 10 in 1992.
Terrible or realistic.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
No, terrible, Dave. Yeah, he's a terrible dad.
What was he like as a father before he was frozen?
Pretty warm, pretty kind.
Oh, really? That's surprising.
Yeah.
Because he's really talking shit on you.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he never remembered my name, never.
Yeah.
Well, but just in his body, he was very warm.
Oh, physically, there was a lot of heat coming off him.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Well, I was alive.
Yeah, that's true. Alive people tend to generate a certain level of heat.
Yeah, this is it.
Body heat. I want to bring on your wife, Mary, who's now 62. How are you finding it having Norman back in the world?
I've forgotten all about Norman. I've moved on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you are technically still married.
So what?
Well, I've moved on with still being married to him. We haven't signed those documents yet.
Yeah. So have you? When you say you've moved on, have you moved on to another relationship?
Another lover.
Okay.
And his name is Frankie Duvine.
Frankie Devine.
Frankie Devine. And man, oh man, was I wasting my life away with Norman.
You say the name Frankie Devine like maybe that's somebody I should have heard of before?
You haven't?
No, I don't. Who's Frankie Devine?
Sounds like a made-up name to me.
Well, hang on, you've had your say.
Sorry. Frankie Devine is a man about town. He would ride a horse everywhere, and he owns the diner called Frankie's.
Okay, so I wouldn't necessarily have heard of him.
I don't know if you've been at my hometown.
No, where are you from?
Texas.
Texas? Okay. That's a big town.
Yeah, Texas.
West Texas.
West Texas, okay. And the town is in West Texas?
Yep.
Okay. And that's where Frankie's is?
That's Frankie's.
Okay, how did you meet Frankie Duvine?
Well, I'll be at Frankie's having my...
Oh, at his restaurant, yeah.
Yeah, a cup of mocha every morning. Me and Norman used to go... That was our thing. We get 2 fried eggs and a sausage every Saturday morning.
Mm.
And then when Norman left my life to become an ice cube, you know, I kept on going. And then Frankie, you know, he'd close up shop and I'd still be there. It'd be quite late. So I'd, you know, had breakfast, lunch, dinner there.
Was that out of a kind of just like...
I had a massive crush on
Frankie.
Oh,
I was going to say because you missed your husband. No, you were trying to meet Frankie.
Maybe for a day or two,
yeah.
I was a bit upset and I would cry at the table. But then I thought, man, oh man, that Frankie Devine.
Frankie Devine. He does sound like he has something about him.
He's got like a sparkle in his eye constantly.
Right. He sounds great. Great.
He's amazing. I love him too.
Is he like the father you never had?
Oh, amazing. Yeah. I mean, mom was gone for weeks. Like she said, she was there breakfast, lunch, dinner every day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
I had 2 absentee parents. But, you know, I got on just fine. But Frankie Devine,
Frankie Devine walked in that door, Graham ran up to him like, you know, he was
his father.
Father all along.
Like his real father.
And they go out, you know, into the park. And
does he take you fishing?
Yeah. It was Frankie's idea for Dad to get frozen. He was the one who suggested it.
Oh,
really?
Right. So you were in Frankie's one day having breakfast and he...
It all makes sense now.
He suggested that you should... He gave you the article that said, here, you come and get yourself frozen.
I went to the toilet, and there was an envelope on top of the toilet.
Yeah.
And it was... It had my name written on it. It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah.
I just had an argument with Andrew.
And who?
Him.
Graham?
Graham. Yeah. Graham. Whatever. I just had an argument. Wow. he wasn't finishing his soup. And I said, finish your soup. And he said, no.
I hate soup. It's the worst food ever.
And I said, I hate you. I hate you as a person and as a child and as
That's
a son.
Third. Harsh.
Then I said, I got to go to the toilet. And I went to the toilet. There was an envelope in the toilet with my name on it. I opened it and said, hey, Norman, you should get yourself frozen. And I said, wow. Life-changing. You know those life-changing moments that
yes,
you have?
Thunderbolts.
Yeah. Yeah. And it said, there's a guy up the road with a lorry or a truck, whatever they call it. And he said, he will freeze you right now. And I went back into that diner. Back in that diner, and I said, Frankie, there's my boy. And I said to the boy, fuck you, I'm going to get frozen, okay? You might see me in 30 years' time or hear my voice on a phone-in show or some shit. And then I went up to the man with the lorry, and I said, hello, my name is Norman. Will you freeze me? And thankfully, he said, yes, I will. And I went into the back of the lorry, and then 2 weeks ago, I woke up, and here I was.
Wow. Wow.
And that is the story of me getting frozen.
So if I'm hearing this right, Mary, it sounds like Frankie wanted to get Norman out of the way so maybe he could, you know.
He's a cool guy.
Move in with you is what I'm saying. Like, this seems a bit premeditated.
Mm-hmm. My Frankie's very educated. He reads a lot of books, magazines. So he was always forward thinking. So he always wanted to give that gift of knowledge to other people.
That's a generous reading of what happened there.
Norman was in that toilet for a long time. And
suggesting
maybe. Sorry?
What are you suggesting with that?
Just that me and Frankie had a long chat about the frozen thing.
Oh,
and
okay.
I said, well, that actually sounds like a good idea.
Right.
I agreed with Frankie.
Yeah.
And
no, but what I'm saying is, do you think he maybe manipulated?
Absolutely.
Okay, but you're okay with that?
I'm fine with that.
Okay, because you're happy now.
Norman was a bad person.
It sounds like a bad person. Offense, Norman.
It's true.
We slept together on our wedding night and then nothing ever after that.
Okay.
He slept on the couch.
Right.
What's your name again?
Mary.
Oh, Mary. Yeah, yeah. As Mary said, we consummated the relationship. And then I slept on the couch from then on.
Job done.
And I like sleeping on the couch because then I get to watch TV.
Yeah. Well,
all
makes
night.
Sense. And obviously you were blessed with Graham.
Bless my little boy. Look at him there. I don't know if you can see
I can't
him.
See him, no.
No.
Because we're all on the phone.
But he's a lovely little guy.
He sounds like a lovely little guy. You should be very proud of him.
Yeah, I'm 40, Dave, but I'm only 4 foot. So, but yeah.
Still my little boy. And Norman was a lousy father. And I didn't want Graham to turn out like him.
Of course.
I want him to turn out like
Frankie
Devine.
Well, look, we've heard it. We've had enough chat now. Let's hear from Frankie Devine. Frankie, was this all your master plan?
Oh, Dave, it's so good to see you, my son, my friend.
Okay, well, I can't see you, but it's good to hear your voice, Frankie.
Well, I see your voice, and I hear your voice, and I can see your face, you know, your long blonde hair on your green suit.
Yeah. How'd you do that? That's crazy.
Oh, I can see through voices.
That is an amazing talent.
It's my gift. You need to come down to Frankie's sometime. Have some of my divine grits and Tex-Mex.
Out in West Texas?
Oh, yeah. In Texas, West Texas, Texas.
Oh, yeah. The town is called Texas in West Texas, in the state of Texas. Sorry, I didn't get that earlier. Okay, great. And so this was all part of your plan. You sort of tricked, I guess, Norman into freezing himself so you could move in with Mary and be father to Graham, the father that he never had.
Oh, I admit it, Dave. It was all me. And the good lady. And Graham, too. We cooked it all up. I hand wrote the note. And then I put it in the... I gave him the absolute thickest Tex-Mex ever. It really does a number on your bowels. He was in that toilet for hours.
So you needed him to be in there for a long time
so he could kind of mull it over, keep rereading it. In the meantime, I'm hollering to the ice truck down the road, that long-haul food transportation freezer device vehicle. And I say, hold on right there. I got one more.
One more piece of meat you want frozen.
One more piece of meat. You just hold on right there. And I said, Graham, you watch the door. I said, my darling, I said, you finish up that breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
because we're nearly home.
Wow, Frankie, it's great to talk to you. I have to say, you've just got this energy, this kind of like positivity, and it really like comes down the phone line. I'm hearing it in my ears. You're like the polar opposite to Norman. He's just a real downer buzz.
Although, you know what, Dave? I hate my family, but I gotta say,
I
love that guy, Frankie
it's
Devine.
Hard not
Frankie,
to like him.
I have not heard your voice in a whole fortnight.
Yeah.
And my God, that's been a lonely 2 weeks, I tell you. A lonely, lonely 2 weeks that I haven't had the pleasure of hearing the dulcet tones and roars of Frankie Devine.
That's my Frankie.
Frankie, have you ever thought about going into like the media? I could see you like hosting a reality show or...
You should watch my reality show. It's called Divines.
Oh, okay.
Now, Frankie, we always have the cameras there.
So what's just following your life?
Just following my life. Yeah, we cook up some drama, you know what I mean? But the wife is an amazing actress.
Keeping up with the Divines.
So much drama. It's
okay,
it's
I can't wait to watch
it. Is that why when I woke up from being frozen, there were cameras everywhere?
Everywhere.
Oh, okay, because Norman's part of the storyline now. Him kind of being reintroduced to the family.
Long form storytelling.
Yes.
That's why a lot of people have actually come up to me in the street and been like, hey, you from that Divines TV show? Now it explains loads.
Right.
I was the frozen guy in the truck in the Devine's TV show.
It gave us a lot of fresh content.
Yeah, I want to ask about this truck, because when I heard about this experimental technique that froze you for 30 years, I assumed it was a bit more high-tech than like the back of a freezer truck.
No. I was just in with the carcasses.
Literally frozen
for
30 years.
Yeah, I just kind of went into the back of it and... the guy just said, you just go as far down that truck as you can.
Yeah.
Don't ever come out again.
Right.
And maybe you'll survive.
So it was kind of like almost like a deep hibernation sort of.
Yeah. But it was an experiment.
Well, yeah.
Nobody had done it before.
Why would they? It'd be crazy to.
Yeah.
And were you worried, Frankie, at all that he might just die?
That was the plan,
Frankie Devine.
He's a trickster. He's a trickster, that guy Frankie.
My Frankie.
Son of a bitch.
I'm a goddamn son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And I saw that, that ass truck was in the landfill. It was dumped up, rusted over, completely thawed. And doesn't that son of a bitch just crawl out of there?
You should have come down and said hello, Frankie. We could have caught up like old times two weeks ago.
Look, there still is time. You know, you come back to West Texas, to Texas, West Texas, and Texas, and be part of the show. You know, maybe come back into their lives a little bit. Maybe be the father that you weren't before to Graham.
Oh, no, there's no chance of that. I hate
no
him.
No interest.
I hate him.
And you're happy
him.
To see Mary move on and be with Frankie?
Yeah, to a degree, just because, I don't have to put up with her anymore, and more her shouting and nonsense. I can hear her indignance over the phone.
Norman, I never shouted at you.
You always shout. That's all you do. You don't never talk normally.
Well, you are shouting now.
I wouldn't have to shout if you weren't such a lousy father to poor old Graham.
Fair.
Who's Graham?
Your son.
Oh, yeah.
My God, Norman.
Your 40-year-old son.
You just have not changed since you came out of that little ice cube.
Well, it's just me. It's the same guy, okay?
Yeah, I mean, for him, it's only been 2 weeks.
It's
I know it's 30
fortnight.
Years for you.
Guess your little plan backfired, huh?
Well, I thought you
not really.
Grew a brain since then, you little nimwit.
Okay,
that's harsh.
That is harsh. Let's keep it friendly.
I may have been frozen for 30 years,
Frankie,
but I still...
Sorry, Frankie, for my bad language.
Of course, no problem. No problem at all.
I may have been frozen for 30 years, but I still have feelings.
Frankie, is there any kind of, I don't know, is there anything you can do for Norman? Like, can you give him a job or help him get his life back together? Because he's lost his family. He's obviously spent all this money. Actually, where did the money go? You paid a fortune for this.
Yes, I did.
Did that just go to the truck driver?
Yeah, I just gave him all my money.
Cash in hand.
It seemed like a really good idea.
In fairness, he was kind of going along with what could have been a murder plot.
Oh, he had no idea at all. I was just calling at the door of my diner saying, hold on, I got some crazy little bitch that's going to walk up in there. He's going to give you a whole lot of money. You just take that money and just do whatever you like with it, son.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I guess in order to trick you, it had to seem plausible. So.
Yeah, and it was really, really, really convincing because, Frankie, he's a guy who thinks things through.
Yeah,
he ain't no mug.
Note. Yeah. He made sure your stomach was...
Yeah, he made sure that I had to go to the toilet for ages.
Yeah.
He wrote a letter and put it in an envelope with my name
on it. Of course.
With my name
How
on
would
it.
You not
How did
it?
He know? How did he know my name?
When Frankie asks you to do something, you just do it. Yeah. I don't know what it is about him.
Very persuasive.
very persuasive.
So sorry, back to my original question. Can you help him get his life back on track? You sound like the kind of guy who's just going to make things happen for people, you know?
What? Thank you, Dave.
Stop.
I can say the same thing about you. Wow. And also, we got a little bit of something for you to sign, because you're going to be in episode 7 of season 6, Dave.
Oh, great.
So we got a little bit of, the NDA for you to sign.
Yeah, no problem.
Fantastic. So, yeah. He's in the cast now. He's fully in the cast. He's in the new season because what? This storyline is too hot not to catch a hold of like a rattlesnake in a deep desert. It's West Texas.
I've been waiting 30 years to be hot again. I'll tell you that.
Wrestle the storyline down and it's going to bite at us, but we're going to bite back. Yeah. Isn't that right?
Going to be a couple of rattlesnakes in there.
Okay, I love this storyline.
We've got a new couch for you, Normie. You can sleep on there. It's not as lumpy as the old couch.
Great, but never talk to me again. I only communicate through Frank now. You and the other one, I don't want to talk to you.
This is great, because this is grist for the mill as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's all scripted, but yeah, absolutely. You're never going to talk to it.
Wait, hang on. Is this all scripted?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're in the show now.
We're always being watched, Dave.
So... have you just all used my phone-in show as a vehicle to reintroduce this character to your show?
You got it.
But what?
We're all in the same room right now.
Why did you bring me in on it?
Well, that's my line, sorry. We're all in the same room right now.
We're in it now,
Dave. Welcome to the family.
Well, why didn't you tell me in advance? I would have gone along if I'd have known.
You can't
tell me in advance.
Can't trust anybody. Apart from Frankie Devine.
We wanted your beautiful, genuine reaction.
Okay, well, you
and
got
boy,
us.
And boy, did you nail it.
Yeah.
How about that,
thanks,
Frankie?
Guys. Thank you. Maybe I could, I could be a regular on the show?
I know, you'll have to find out, Dave. Okay. 7 Eastern on the Awful Channel.
The Awful Channel? As in, like,
Just.
Guts?
Awful. Awful. Buffalo Awful Channel.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, you can be in the show. I hear there's a guy up the road with an ice truck. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Go get yourself frozen. And then we'll put cameras in there for 30 years.
I'm not stupid enough to fall for that old trick.
Damn.
Not like you.
Damn, let's ring the next radio show and see if they'll freeze themselves.
Oh, you giving us the theme tune there?
Keeping up with the divines. Why don't you keep up with the divines?
Oh, great. It's pretty catchy.
And that's on the Buffalo Awful Channel.
That's right. 7 Central.
7 Central. Okay, great. I'm afraid we're out of time for this show. Your show will obviously keep on going, but we're out of time for this show. I want to thank all of my callers today, but I especially want to thank Niall Cutler, Malachy McKeever, and Laura O'Leary. Guys, do you have anything you want to plug? Niall, I'll start with you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks very much. I started working with a YouTube channel, a board gaming YouTube channel called No Rules Barred. And they do like playthroughs and reviews and kind of like starter lists if you want to get your board game collection together.
Cool.
And it's, yeah, really fun. No Rules Barred on YouTube. It's a really good crack.
Great. And so you play the games in the videos on YouTube?
I'm not an on-screen person out on this.
You're behind the scenes. Yeah. Okay, great. We'll definitely check that out. Laura, do you have anything you want to plug?
Some Phoning It In regulars and me will be doing some improv on Tuesday in Chaplin's Bar. It's called the Bang Bang Comedy Improv Night.
Correct.
And Tiny are going to be performing.
Absolutely.
For the first time in a long time. So yeah,
this episode will be going out probably 2 weeks after
well,
that show.
If you came,
if you were at that show.
I hope you had a great time.
But hopefully you did come to that show, and retroactively, thank you for coming, and I hope you enjoyed it, and hopefully there'll be more bang bang comedy improv nights in the future.
Exactly.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, see you there.
Malachy.
Just our comedy channel on YouTube, Linscrack.
Oh, yeah, Linscrack. Yeah, yeah.
But apart from that, nothing to promote. Maybe by the time this episode comes out, I'll have something to promote.
Well, but then it'll be too late.
Oh, yeah.
No, you just send me a little voice note and I'll drop it in at the end.
Somebody will have asked me to perform in something by the time this comes out.
Thank you, guys. Thank you to the Headstuff Podcast Network for having us, and to Bobby Ahern for our theme music. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
You've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.